Zaslow is out for the rest of the week. Brian Monroe's hanging out with me.
What'd he do?
You know, it's only 45% humidity outside, Brian.
I love it.
I know you were wondering.
I was.
So I thought I'd let you know.
I appreciate that.
0% chance of precipitation today.
Zero.
Zero.
That is what I'm talking about.
0%. And there's a wind out of the north. It's only 9 miles per hour, though. Don't worry.
That's kind of strong for my hair. Got to keep it looking good. You know what I'm saying?
Your hair moves around a lot otherwise.
It moves a lot.
Well, don't worry. Tomorrow, the wind's out of the east, only 8 miles per hour.
Perfect. For the weekend,
for
Friday
the weekend,
nights.
And then Saturday, you get an 8 mile per hour wind as well. The humidity, though, it's going up tomorrow. It's going to be 61% tomorrow. On Saturday, you'll have humidity of 61%. It's going all the way up to 63% on Sunday. That's not good news for your hair.
It's not, but I wear a hat. It's Art Basel. I could wear some fruity type of hat and make it look good. You know what I'm saying?
And by next week, by midweek, humidity is all the way up to 75%.
Oh, bust out the bathing suits, baby.
So enjoy this very dry 45% humidity today, South Florida. Your high today is going to be 73. Your low is 59. And that is your Exergen forecast. I'm like a weather person now. I mean, I'm honestly
you're better than
a meteorologist.
Solana. You're better than Solana.
I am. I'm basically a meteorologist.
Oh, Papa might be mad at that one.
Let's do some headlines.
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
Am I supposed to do this Comcast stuff again here? I mean, I figure
I'll get you another one.
Okay.
I'll get you another
one. All right. Good to go. The Miami Heat. They lost to them. We don't have talkback buttons here. See, in the old studio, I used to be able to whisper sweet nothings in the producer's ear. So I would have been able to hit a button that nobody would have been able to hear me talk to Vlad and ask him off air. And it was a very useful button. It was very useful technology because all the time we'd be talking to each other off air about different stuff that we have coming up. We don't have that ability anymore. So you know what? I'm just putting it out on air, everything we need to do.
We got a nice hole in the desk where it's supposed to be.
We have holes in the desk where the cough button and the talk back button is supposed to be. And don't worry, we have the buttons because they're sitting over there in the corner, Brian, in those boxes. Right behind you. There's a whole stack of boxes of these buttons.
Oh, I'll get to it. I'll make it work.
It'll be put in sometime next year.
Okay, 2022, yeah. Maybe. Mm. And I mean, I'm at a point where like I might just try my engineering skills and see if I can figure it out myself.
If it's got instructions, I can make it work.
The Miami Heat, they needed instructions last night. They lost to the Boston Celtics 112-93 in what was pretty much a scheduled loss. Jimmy Butler, he had a game-high 37 points last night. He was awesome. He was basically the only player who was really, really awesome, but he was super awesome last night, and it wasn't enough because, unfortunately, the Celtics were pretty awesome, too. You had 31 from Jaylen Brown. You had 28 from Kemba Walker. Jimmy Butler, he spoke after the game.
Is Boston Celtics' biggest opponent for you guys as a team?
No.
Anything else?
I love that sound. I'm sorry. If you got to go check out the video because his face is the best answering that question.
His face is priceless.
It is awesome.
He is just, I mean, no. It just deadpan.
And then looking at dude like, what is wrong
with you?
Like, are you stupid?
Are you dumb?
Is this the dumbest question I've ever been asked? Let's hear it again.
Is Boston Celtics' biggest opponent for you guys as a team?
No.
Anything else?
And you could tell the dude probably wanted to follow up and ask who is.
Nah, that looked
good. But he was so scared.
He gave him an ice grill. That's why the PR guy had to be like, anything else?
Yup.
Oh, that was
and nobody
awesome.
Wanted to ask anything else at that point. Everybody's like, no, we're good.
Have you been in the locker rooms?
I have, so yes.
When the players are upset or not very fond of talking to the media at
mm-mm.
that time, all the answers are very short.
Very.
Very quick.
They're letting you know as much as possible
right.
that they do not want to be there and they do not want to be. I actually hate that. I think it's super, super rude because, like, listen, bro, it's part of your job.
Yeah, we need those 50 seconds, man. We need something.
We need it. Like, I need, like, you have to do your job so I can do my job. So, yeah, I don't have much tolerance frankly, for coaches who do that. I don't have tolerance for players who do that. Although I will say, at least last night, you could kind of understand, like, you had to expect it. If you were going to be in that locker room, like, if you were in that locker room last night, Vlad, gathering that sound, like, you would know when you're going over to Jimmy Butler that that's not the night, because you're talking about a loss, a tough loss, a loss where he played lights out.
I'm throwing him softballs.
Exactly. You're just tossing up.
Yeah,
exactly.
Like, but Jimmy, I know the tough loss, but you did finish the road trip 2-1. What can you look forward to going back home? That's what I would give him. That's what I would give him. Don't go ask him, is Boston your toughest opponent? Because he's going to give you that look, like, what he really wants to say, there's some expletives.
Yes.
That's what he really wanted to say.
See, but that's why I'm glad you guys get the sound after games, because I don't want to be going to no locker rooms asking no dudes how they feeling after a loss. I'm going to pass on that one right there.
No, and I mean, some players have real egos about it. I will tell you, if you ever cover hockey, which I don't know if you've ever been in a hockey locker room, Vlad, but those dudes are the best.
First of all, they're the best.
They're the best with the media.
They're the best with the media.
Players are the nicest in the media. They really are. Like, they're just cool. They're just down to earth. They're cool guys. I think they understand that they're in a bit of a niche sport, especially, and I've only done it down here, so maybe this is a Florida thing. I don't know what kind of egos they have if they're actually, you know, in a hockey environment, but they're the nicest market.
People. They're the nicest people. Give them their 10 minutes. Then they'll talk to you while they're training.
Mm-hmm.
In that, you know, because they all got to do conditioning skills after the game, they still talk to you and they'll answer all your questions, and they'll answer it as nice as they can and as professional as they can. But it's not like the other ones, like the NFL locker room. Some of these guys look at you and then just start exiting out. Mm-hmm.
Or some of them don't even give you the time of day, and they're gone. Let me get that fine.
They all have big heads about it, is what it is. I think, and hockey players are just very, like, I think hockey players understand the importance of the media for their sport, and they really sort of respect the relationship there, because they know that they're in a bit of a niche sport, particularly down here, and that for them, press coverage is good coverage, and, you know, they're cool with all that. Like, they want the coverage as well, and it's a symbiotic type relationship, and a lot of the NBA players and NFL players, they feel like they don't need you. Like, they're above you. They don't need you. They'd be fine with or without you, which isn't true, because without the media, like, I don't know how you think anybody's watching your games or who you think cares about you if, you know, no one's covering you and no one's showing your games anywhere. But okay. I mean, it's obviously, it's part of your career. It's part of why you make as much money as you do. It's part of why you're as famous as you are, because the media has certainly helped the trajectory of the entire sport. But they don't really recognize that. And at this point, they feel like they're above it.
Yeah, I've been in the certain locker rooms. There's been many famous sound taken. And, yeah, I've seen some craziness afterwards.
Now, you never really had to deal with the media as much as a punter.
Yeah.
Was there ever a situation where you were just really annoyed with something somebody asked you?
No, I think the only thing annoyed was when my own hometown paper says, well, we're going to do a piece on you. I was like, oh, great. Piece came out, was
that Palm Beach Post?
Yeah, it was completely different. It was all negative.
Really?
I said to my public the relations guy, I'm never doing an interview for them again, just to let them know. Other than that, I mean,
let me ask you this. Were you there when Kellen went on?
Yeah, that's what I said. I've been in locker rooms with very famous quotes being taken.
Because, I'm a soldier.
Yeah, we've had some interesting ones back in the day in the Canes locker room. But for me, it was always so weird at first, right? Because we were one of two schools in college football that let media into the locker rooms afterwards. Normally in college, you go to the podium. But back in the day, we let the reporters come into the locker room. Now you're being an 18-year-old kid come from high school. Now you got women in there and you're changing and you're like, okay, cool, whatever, no big deal. But then they would let the school newspaper come in as well. And I was talking to one of the girls that was a reporter, not knowing she worked for the school newspaper. She was a soccer player. So sure enough, I turn around after getting in the shower. Here she is. I'm like, what the heck you doing in here? She's like, oh, we're writing a piece. I'm like, so my boy's over there. We're going to be going out tonight. My boy's over there. And you're just sitting there all looking at him naked. I'm like, this ain't working like that. Let me get in the girls' locker room if I'm a reporter. Come on, man. It ain't going to work. They ain't going to let me in.
Yeah, they ain't allow me to go in the WNBA.
No, you ain't getting in there.
Where Miami's
I feel like if you went into a female locker room, like, the women would probably just, I don't know, maybe cover up a little, be a little decent. Like, you guys can, by the way, cover up. I've been in these locker rooms.
You
got to
remember
before.
This, though.
Like, you're entirely able to.
We're getting, remember this.
No, listen, some of you choose very much not to because you're extraordinarily proud of what you have.
I get that, but here's the thing.
That's a fact.
Here's the thing. Even if you are
And maybe not some of you shouldn't be as proud. I mean, I'm just saying.
Even if you are trying to just change and get ready, they're just standing there looking at you, waiting for the interview. Like, just standing there looking at you. And I don't care what you say. Even if I'm covering up, I still got to dry off. What do you want me to do? I got to dry off.
The first time I ever saw a man naked in a locker room was actually when I was in high school.
Yeah, we didn't do that in high school.
Because I was an athletic trainer in high school, so, like, at one point, and which is basically, like, you know, you glorified, like, water girl, yeah. Apparently, basically. And so we went into – so we – like, the trainer's office was in the locker room, though, was in the football locker room. And so we walked into the football locker room walking through, and, like, they, you know, somebody yelled my name, and I turned around. One of the guys yelled my name, and he was very proud of what he was, you know, showing. Very proud.
And that
showed
and then
off.
I just turned back around and kept walking.
Vlad, and that's
he was
when
just
Amber
showing
knew
it off, you know?
She was gonna go to the dark side one day.
I don't know what you're talking about. Holy anyways, where what? Dan Craig. He was head coach last night for the Miami Heat. Brian Monroe is like on the floor right now, cracking up.
That was great.
Dan Craig was the head coach of the Miami Heat last night. He filled in for Eric Spoelstra. Spoelstra had to travel back to Miami to be with his wife, Nikki. She was giving birth to their second son. Here's Dan Craig on taking over for Spo.
Obviously, it's a big adjustment. You know, you're going from that assistant chair to the head coach chair and just trying to juggle, you know, all the dynamics of what a head coach has to deal with before game, in game, after game. So, you know, again, overall execution could have been better for us, and I think that game would have looked a little bit different if we were better offensively.
Changes are coming to Marlins Park, Brian Monroe. They're switching to synthetic grass.
Aren't they bringing in the fence as
they're
well?
They're also going to move the fences in the center field and right center field. So they're going to go from 407 feet to 400 feet, taking a whole 7 feet off
hey,
them.
Hey, man, that's a lot of home runs right there.
The right center field, they're going to reduce it by 12 feet down to 387 feet. That's one of the big criticisms of Marlins Park is you can't hit homers in it, right? So they're moving the fences.
You know what that means over there?
What's that mean?
More drinking space in Cleveland there, baby.
That's a fact.
Really? They're going to extend the Clevelander?
What are you going to just do, leave it concrete?
I mean, I don't know. I hadn't really thought about it at all. Huh. Look at that.
Maybe they'll put like a little day pool in the front now, too.
I don't think they need more pools. I would. You couldn't pay me money to get into that pool.
Heck
at Cleveland.
No. No
could
way.
Could not pay me money.
I don't know if that water's clean.
No. God, I mean, I'm going to guess it's not. Adam Gase, he spoke to Miami reporters about Devontae Parker. Did you see this?
I did not.
So reporters did ask Adam Gase. I mean, Adam Gase in New York with the New York media, it's the worst situation ever. But of course, also now he has to talk a lot about Miami because, you know, he's facing Miami. So he's going to be dealing with Miami press, New York press, and they're going to be asking him a lot, I would imagine, about people he used to coach. Well, Devontae Parker's been balling out since Adam Gase left his head coaching job here. And, of course, he was a huge disappointment the previous 4 years. So a reporter did ask him about that. And Barry Jackson, he's been buzzing around. Did you see what Barry Jackson said before I get to Adam Gase's quote?
I haven't, but I love Barry.
So Barry Jackson said that a source with direct knowledge has said that Gase lost confidence in Parker, believing that Parker could not fully grasp Gase's offense. And that's why Adam Gase didn't like Devontae Parker.
That offense?
That offense. That that Devontae Parker didn't have the, I guess, intellectual capacity to grasp Adam Gase's incredibly complicated offense.
It ain't complicated.
Nothing complicated about that offense.
The man doesn't
that's
give
the
ball to his good players. There's nothing complicated. The person who's complicated is Adam Gase. Bum.
Amber, it's good that we have Vlad today because he is a Jets fan.
Right, I know.
So we could definitely ask some good questions about the bets going on.
Now, were you one of those Jets fans? Were you excited when you got Adam Gase, or had you spent enough time down here to know better?
No, I wasn't down here. I didn't come back.
No, he was excited.
I wasn't excited.
Yes, you were.
No.
We tried to warn you.
You're being called out right now because you did, as I understand it, bet a bottle of Crown you lost. So it seems like you – oh, I'm sorry, 3 bottles of Crown. What?
Yeah, that's 3 bottles of Crown.
She said, what?
Yeah, I lost 3 bottles.
3 bottles. Yeah. Because they're not making the
three
playoffs.
3 separate bets?
Yeah.
3 separate times? You thought it was a good idea to bet on your Jets?
Oh, yeah. God, I love it.
Well, one of them, he got me because my quarterback didn't play. Well,
was that the problem? Because your quarterback's not playing so well right now. He's back.
He's all right.
Listen.
He's all right.
Okay.
He doesn't look all right. Like, I was asking Brian yesterday if Sam Darnold secretly wants Adam Gase fired. Like, if Sam Darnold thinks, I'd be awesome if Adam Gase wasn't here based on what's happening with Ryan Tannehill.
I want him fired, but I don't want my quarterback to have three different head coaches in three different years. So, therefore.
Well, I don't think he's getting fired this year.
He's not going to get fired.
Because I don't think
this
so either.
These aren't his players that he wanted. So, therefore, and his boy is the general manager.
But also, the consistency, like you just mentioned, I think if you're the owner, you probably want. And the GM, obviously, they're BFFL, right. So you can't fire them anyways. But if you're the owner, I think you try to maintain
Amber,
that consistency.
Look,
the
first bet I made with him, I thought the Jets would make the playoffs. So they're not going to make the playoffs, so he's got that. The second bet.
wait till the third bet.
The second bet was the Eagles game. Uh-huh, okay, uh-huh. I thought Sam was gonna play.
Now uh-huh, wait till this uh-huh. bet.
I thought Sam was gonna play.
This is when he had when he was kissing too many girls.
Yeah, yeah. He's got mono. You know, he was hoeing around in New York. It's okay. Do that. It's okay.
He's been hoeing around since too. Yeah, yeah. Pictures that are out there.
Good for him.
Life's good as a young quarterback
in
New York
City. Young 21-year-old quarterback in New York. Life is good.
No wonder he got the mono.
Now,
I wonder what else he got.
Bet, I will say, I was a little crazy for that bet.
What was the bet?
It was the Jets-Patriots Monday night game after the Jets just beat the Cowboys.
He said the Jets were going to beat the Patriots.
The New England Patriots.
Hey, yes. Listen. Let's not talk about
when they were one of the hottest teams with the number one defense. They were doing the crazy thing.
Well, first of all, they're still 10-2 right now.
Yeah, it was the ghost game. So, yeah, I was drunk off the Cowboys win.
I was drunk off the crown, too.
I bet you were.
Wow, those bets really worked out for Brian.
Oh, yeah. I'm just waiting.
Maybe you should give up on your whole betting career there.
No, I got
Vlad.
One more bet with Rashad.
Oh, yeah, they got the bet this weekend with the Jets-Dolphins.
Okay, so you're still taking your Jets.
Well, we made this bet prior to the season. He said that the Jets would lose both games to the Dolphins. Now, I didn't think
that's looking like a bold take by Rashad, because people probably thought Rashad was insane when he said that before the season, and now he's looking like
now
he might
I'm
be exactly correct.
Now I'm the one who's sweating because I might have to take him to the Cheetahs.
Rashad is kind of like Nostradamus, though. It seems like Rashad has a knack for predicting the unpredictable and it coming true.
Yeah, some of his takes are like, yo, man, I need what you smoking, bro.
You wild.
I need what you smoking.
Do we actually have this Adam Gase sound?
No.
Okay, so I'll just tell you what it said. He said that when he was asked about Devontae Parker now being so much better without him, Adam Gase said, that's not really what's crossed my mind. He said in a conference call with South Florida media in advance, of course, of this matchup on Sunday, he said that some of the stuff you guys have seen at certain points and stuff I saw a couple of times, especially in 2017 training camp. I'm happy he's been able to stay healthy and it's working out well for him. That's the player everyone expected when he was drafted.
Yeah, and you were supposed to get the most out of that player that got drafted.
Right.
Come on.
Where were the last 4 years trying
idiot.
To get that out of that player. Yes, that was what everybody expected from him. And where the hell was it when you were his coach?
And if it's true that you say he couldn't grasp your offense, dumb it down for him if he's such a special talent. Get him on the field any way you can. Teach him the basics of defense. If this guy goes into a man coverage instead of a zone coverage, you have to adjust your route. And we're just going to give you these four routes. That's all we want to ask from you. Just run these four routes, adjust for the hot route, and that's it. Dumb it down. If you're a top 15 pick and you're doing what you're doing now, I need you on the field.
Young is the life. More skin is the life. Yes.
Now, Brian Monroe, he's too cool for fantasy football.
I'm undefeated on the season. I don't know what you're talking
about. Yeah, undefeated at not ever playing fantasy football.
I'm number one. I'm going into the playoffs hot.
You're one of the only people I know who doesn't play fantasy football.
Yeah, I never got into that whole thing.
I mean, you could still try.
Nah, because I hate certain players from where they come from, and I'm not going to be rooting for a team and a player and then hope my team wins, but the player still scores on me. Like, I can't stand that. That junk. Ugh.
See, now most people love fantasy football because it gives them something to root for when you're not just watching your team. So it gives something to watch and it gives you a rooting interest in every game. And that's why most people love fantasy football. Now, you're a lover of football generally.
Yes.
So maybe you feel like you don't need that.
I don't need it. It'd be worse for my heart. I'm good.
So the reason that I mention, of course, fantasy football is because this is our fantasy football segment with Jamie Eisenberg. He joins us every Thursday at this time. CBS Sports is Jamie Eisenberg. Hey, Jamie.
How you guys doing?
So I didn't get a chance to promote this segment in advance. So if you can text in questions for Jamie at 67974, you can call in. What's the call-in number, Brian?
I don't know. You're the host.
No, what do you mean? You're always making fun of me for not remembering. What's the call-in number? I don't have any paperwork in front of me. That's the problem here. We don't have the number. It is 786-360-0790. You know, Jamie, since we have these fancy new studios now, corporate won't allow us to put any signs up. So in our old studio, we had all the numbers that we needed to know right in front of us. We can't have that now. So now we just have to know these things off the top of our head. It's a little more complicated than it used to be.
First world problems. Sounds First like world you guys problems. Are in a lot of trouble over there.
Exactly.
I'm telling you.
So it's playoff time in fantasy football, right? Like, is everybody in the playoffs at this point?
For the most part. I mean, there are some, 10-team leagues that play this week and then they start their playoffs next week. Some crazy people like to go to week 17. I know Brian's, trying to go 17-0 in his league. So
that's right, baby.
I'm sure he plays until week 17. So, people like that.
So let's start with Devontae Parker because we'll keep it local. On the Dolphins, that's probably the only guy worth talking about during playoff time right now. But obviously, he's been really, really surprising people. What would you do with Devontae Parker this week?
Well, I think you're right in one regard. He's been awesome, and you should start him. But I wouldn't necessarily discount two other guys on the Dolphins, three other guys on the Dolphins, as a matter of fact.
Laird, baby.
Ryan Fitzpatrick. I knew you were going there. That's crazy.
Laird is good as well.
Yes.
And Mike Gesicki. I think you look at all four of those guys. Look, Parker has become one of the best fantasy receivers. It is something I never thought I would say, but here we are, and you got to give credit where credit's due. He's been fantastic. If you go throughout Fitzpatrick's tenure, he's made one receiver in almost every stop he's made a good amount of money. The one that stands out to me is Stevie Johnson in Buffalo, if you go back to his time there. And Johnson really did nothing since Fitzpatrick or after Fitzpatrick left. So he's helping Devontae Parker's career in quite a big way, and he's been a fun fantasy asset. But, Brian, you mentioned it. Patrick Laird, without Kalen Ballage in there, 11 or more PPR points in two of his last three games, and I think he's going to have a chance, to get double digits in carries, double digits in touches. So he's in that flex conversation. And then Mike Gesicki, if you go back, it's to the Jets game. That's where Preston Williams had the knee injury. Since that point forward, he's been putting up very good numbers. And in that Jets game, six catches for 95 yards. The thing that factors in with all the Dolphins guys is no Jamal Adams. If he's out as expected for the Jets, he's their best player. So it could be a really good situation for the Dolphins offensive guys.
It's amazing that we're talking about any Dolphins at this point in the season. But you mentioned, of course, Fitzmagic. Let's talk about a former Dolphin in Ryan Tannehill because he's been doing very well in Tennessee. Is he a must-start this week? How is he doing in fantasy?
He's doing great. He's not a must-start just from the standpoint of they don't get a lot of attempts. You know what that team is if you've been following the Titans. They're going to give Derrick Henry as many carries as he can handle. I don't think this is a situation where they go into Oakland, which is obviously still a tough place to play, and they fall behind too much just because their defense is good. The Raiders' offense is a little bit shell-shocked, so I don't think it's going to be a scenario where he's chasing points and throwing 40-plus times. But we've seen him since he's taken over from Marcus Mariota. His floor has been 17 or more points. He's got multiple touchdowns in three straight games. So if you are stuck at the quarterback position, he's in a very good scenario for you to buy into starting him. But I just think there are guys with higher ceilings, Fitzpatrick being one of them.
So let's get to some of these calls. Jamie, Lynn, you're on with Jamie.
Yeah, I'm Jonathan.
Oh, sorry. I have the wrong names here, I guess. But go ahead. You're on with Jamie.
Okay. Hey, Jamie. I got a issue. I got two wide receiver slots open and a flex. So who would you start? I have Devontae Parker, Tyler Boyd, Julio Jones, John Brown, or Zach Pascal from the Colts.
Yeah, I'd probably go with the first three guys. I mean, hopefully Julio is going to play. That's the one you got to keep an eye on. But again, Parker, surprisingly enough, is probably the best of that group, and that says a lot with what Julio Jones' resume is. But at less than 100%, you just don't know what Julio you're getting. But I'd start Julio, I'd start Parker, and then Tyler Boyd, as long as Andy Dalton is starting, is going to have the chance to put up some good numbers, especially against the Browns this week.
Is this Eric? Eric, you're on with Jamie. No, not Eric? What's your name? Hey, hello, you're on with Jamie. Anybody there? Nope, not so much. This is going swimmingly so far. Vlad, can you hang up that call? I can't even hang up that call. Sorry, Jamie. It's a little
Monroe, we should just go over your fantasy team and just, you know, the guys that you're debating.
No, right, we can. I can get to the text line. I'll get to texters on the text line. I'm obviously not used to taking the calls and operating the phone over here, and I can't sit in Zaslow's seat because we have some technical issues with the computer system here, with what computer system we can sign in and out of. So I have to sit in my regular seat, which makes dealing with the phones a little bit more complicated. So anyways, I'll go ahead and get to the text line. You can text into the show at 67974. Anthony Miller or Cole Beasley?
I like both this week, but I think Miller's in a better spot. His numbers have really started to pop since they put Trey Burton on IR. So Trubisky's leaning on him, and it's fun to see.
Chicago or Pittsburgh's defense?
Love the Steelers this week. You know, great matchup. Kyler Murray obviously has had a nice rookie season, but, you know, that defense is playing great. I think they're going to make it uncomfortable on Kyler Murray.
Jamal Williams or Sony Michel?
It's really hard to trust Sony Michel. There's going to be a lot of points in that game, so he could find the end zone. But Jamal Williams has been pretty consistent, and, you know, his playing time is basically even with Aaron Jones, and I like the setup for them this week at home against Washington.
Breida, Jordan Howard, or Peyton Barber?
Probably Breida. You know, it'll be interesting to see what Tampa Bay does in terms of Barber and Ronald Jones. It's just so hard to trust those guys. And then Jordan Howard has yet to be cleared for contact. I'd go take a look. If this is the choices you have, go see if Patrick Laird is available, because he could be better than all those guys.
Philip Lindsay or Chris Carson?
I'd still stick with Carson. Lindsay's been getting a lot of work, just hasn't been doing a lot with it. And they got a tough matchup this week against the Texans. I think you look at Carson, even though there was what's going to happen with him and Rashad Penny last week, you saw that Carson was still very good in that matchup against Minnesota. Should be the case against the Rams.
Drew Brees or Brady?
It's funny. You can have this conversation about who's the best quarterback of all time. Somebody would make the case for Brees. But I think you stick with Brady this week. A lot of points again in that game between the Chiefs and the Patriots. And the last two times he's faced Kansas City, over 300 yards passing in both of them.
I have multiple texts asking about Brady or Tannehill as well.
Yeah, I stick with Brady there too. I just think that this is going to be a game that's back and forth. And he's been better at home than on the road. I also think that the garbage time last week helped him, you know, sort of, I think, you know, show you that he can still be a very good fantasy quarterback, because he's been struggling in the three games prior to that.
Julio Jones or DJ Moore, PPR?
I like both. Again, it comes down to do you want to bench Julio Jones, because DJ Moore has had a better recent stretch of games. Most people are going to go down in the playoffs with or without Julio Jones leading the way. Hopefully he leads the way, so I'd probably stick with Jones there.
Bell or Singletary?
I'd go Bell. Singletary's had a nice season, nice rookie season, but facing Baltimore, you know, why would you risk that? Whereas Bell's facing the Dolphins, which should be a better situation for him.
I know Philip Rivers, I think the Chargers are against the Jags this weekend. Is Philip Rivers a good option?
Probably not. You know, there's just so many good quarterbacks out there that he doesn't necessarily, you know, factor into the equation of must-start guy, and he's been so disappointing all season long. So this is one where you go look to your waiver wire, see if Fitzpatrick's there, see if Tannehill's there. Sam Darnold, I know he was disappointing last week, but, you know, against Miami, should have the chance to play well. So they're just a lot better quarterbacks out there. I would even actually play Eli Manning over Phillip Rivers this week.
Wow, Eli Manning over Phillip Rivers this week.
Let's get to
I mean, look.
Go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead. No, I was going to say, look what Ryan Fitzpatrick just did to this Eagles defense. This is Eli Manning's last hurrah. So yeah, I think he's going to go out guns blazing.
Eli Manning, boy.
You had Vlad, who's behind the glass for us today. He was legitimately celebrating and raising the roof when you said Sam Darnold.
I like Sam Darnold this week. He should play well.
Listen, get to good fantasy questions. You know, my team right now, you know, I have some questions about who I should pick up potentially. Is it Alexander Mattison, or should I go for Benny Snell on the waiver wire this week?
So that's a good one, because if you're looking at it from the standpoint of guaranteed points or guaranteed ceiling, I think Benny Snell's ceiling is higher because he should get more touches than Mattison. I have a sneaky feeling with what Dalvin Cook is dealing with. I wonder if, A, he doesn't play. You know, he's one of those surprise inactives because they want to make sure he's right for the playoffs. Or, B, if he's active and doesn't get a full workload because the sternum chest injury that he's dealing with is apparently very painful. So if he takes a bad hit, he could be out, and we've seen him leave each of the last two games. So Madison's a little bit more, probably has a higher ceiling if things go well in his favor, but it's just a little bit risky because Benny Snell's going to get more work.
And then the other big question is, I just watched the Seahawks backfield, and, you know, Chris Carson's normally their guy, but Rashad Penny was the one, you know, carrying the load this past game. You know, what do you do there with those two guys?
you still start Carson, and then depending on what else you have on your team, you start Penny too. I think they're going to, you know, as we saw, they got 40 attempts from those two guys. They're going to try and run the ball as much as they can. So Penny's more of a flex play. Carson's more of a starter. I still prefer Carson over Penny, though, but it's a little bit closer in PPR.
So let me get to some final few of these texts here. Wentz or Winston? Jameis Winston.
Yeah.
For Wentz.
I love the setup for Wentz. You know, he showed us last week he could still be a great fantasy quarterback, and he gets a very bad Giants defense this week.
So now another texter asks, as ridiculous as it sounds now, based on what you were saying earlier, is it Fitzmagic or Wilson the next few weeks that get the start?
Yeah, I wouldn't go there. It would not surprise me if Fitzpatrick is better just because of how he plays and, you know, the wild and crazy all over the place and the matchups that he's facing. He gets the Jets, the Giants, and the Bengals over the next 3 weeks. So he could have some big performances, but it's one of those scenarios. Do you really want to put Russell Wilson on the bench, a potential MVP candidate, and he plays better than Ryan Fitzpatrick, and that's how you lose? So I'll stick with Wilson.
All right, I'll give you one more. Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers?
I go Rodgers there. You know, home game against Washington, that defense is bad. So I think you'll see Rodgers come out and have a big game at home like we saw last week on the road when he beat up the Giants in the snow.
Thanks, Jamie, for putting up with all of our technical issues.
No worries, guys. Have a great weekend and good luck to everybody in the playoffs.
Right, right, baby.
Right, right.
Especially you, Monroe.
Hey, man.
All the good luck in the playoffs.
I'm going for the money, baby.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going
absolutely
for no. Back here on the Zaslow and Amber show, I am Brian Monroe. Amber's out, chilling, hanging out, conversing.
Are we on the air?
She didn't want to come back and speak
My
to
bad.
You guys, so I'm going to take over the show now.
What would the Brian Monroe show sound like?
What are the Brian Monroe sounds? Tune in on Sundays from 11 to 1. You'll find
out. You're not by yourself. I'm talking about if you were by yourself.
Oh, me? Oh, it would be bad. Oh, it would be bad. It'd be all types of
I feel like you could talk to yourself for hours, though.
Oh, I could. Very much.
Yeah, and I feel like that would be a stretch
No issues at all.
Have you seen what's going on with Carmelo Anthony?
What you mean, him balling?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. He balling.
So Carmelo, of course, was very unfairly out of the league, right? I think we can all say that it was very unfair at this point. Very unfair.
Unjust.
Because there was this idea around Carmelo that, well, he's not going to be able to take any sort of step back or any sort of different role. He's not going to understand that he's at a different point in his career. So even though he's one of the best players, he's just not going to be out there. Like, we're just going to keep him out of the league entirely instead of giving him any sort of role. And I always thought that was ludicrous. Why wouldn't you try with a player like Carmelo Anthony? But nobody was willing to try for a very, very long time. And Carmelo said that apparently he was preparing for retirement. Like, he had gotten to a point sitting out where he thought he was genuinely never going to get picked up by another NBA team. And he was ready to officially retire. But of course, he did get picked up by another NBA team. And he just won player of the week. He averaged 22 points over 7 rebounds, a couple of assists, shot 57.4% from the field and 45% from three, helping the Trailblazers get to 3-0 in the games that he'd played for them last week. And before that streak, the Blazers had lost 4 straight before he came in and helped. He was going up against Luka for that award, they gave it to Carmelo Anthony.
Can we say who really should have won the award,
Harden,
even though we hate him?
Harden.
Yes.
Harden.
I mean, let's call it what it is. That was like a pity award for Carmelo, saying, like, you know what? You're right. You should have been in the league. You doing your thing. Let's give you the honors of the week.
It does feel a little like a pity award.
It does.
I got to tell you, because, I mean, now given, like, when you look at the numbers, you're like, okay, his numbers are phenomenal. Harden's are better.
37
Luka's
points?
Are better. Harden was averaging 47. He was averaging 47.
My bad.
When they gave him that week.
Yes,
when they
that
gave
week.
Because don't forget, it's a week award. He was averaging 47 points that week. Luka was averaging 30 points that week. Carmelo was averaging 22. Like, that was his competition, right? His numbers were phenomenal. And then I look at the other numbers and it's like, whoa.
Well,
but they still gave it to Carmelo. And it feels like to me exactly how it feels like to you, that it's a little bit of a oopsies.
My
I guess
bad.
You can play basketball now. We forgot that you could. And they gave him the cupcake 1 week award.
Let him eat. So what? Who cares? Let him eat. Give him the guy. The guys have played in 18 months. So if he's averaging 23 and they give him player of the week and he helped his team win 3 games.
No, I don't have any problem with them giving him the award. Hey, listen, they can give him the award every week if they want to. I have no problem with them giving him can he get most improved player when he sat out for 18 months? Because he's very improved if you think about it. Because
he
went from not doing bleep to doing a whole lot of bleep.
Well,
so there's that.
Do they still have comeback player of the year?
There
he's
you
definitely
go.
Comeback player of the year.
He could be comeback player of the year. That they could give it to him.
All right, so they give him 1 week. It's not like Harden's won MVP, so I don't think Harden cares about any player of the week or Luka.
No. I mean, Luka maybe more than Harden. Harden definitely doesn't care.
Harden doesn't
even know he was in consideration for this award.
No.
Luka's a young guy. Like, maybe it matters a little bit to Luka. I don't know. But Anthony did say about the award, I'm very honored to have won the award. It just speaks to the hard work I put in to stay ready for this moment. I have nothing but respect for Harden and Doncic, but
Doncic. Yeah.
That. I didn't make the decision, but I'm grateful that I won the award.
You just could name him Luka. Well,
Luka. That's why I went with Luka.
He's on one name status.
That's why I went with Luka.
He's balling. That kid is balling. He's probably playing as the best pure point guard in the league.
Yeah, he's pretty good, apparently. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's doing all right.
And
right.
He's definitely the future's bright for the Dallas Mavericks.
Yes.
And we don't like the Dallas Mavericks down here because we hate their owner. We hate Mark Cuban. But the future is very bright for the Dallas Mavericks. Text writes, and execs know that Melo can ball. The issue is him being able to play or the fact that he's burned almost every franchise that he's been a part of. But has he really? Like, I feel like we maybe make too big of a deal out of that.
Yeah.
Did he burn the franchises?
No, he never burned the franchise. He didn't burn New York. New York burned him.
Right.
He didn't burn Denver. He just let Denver know, look, I'm not going to resign with you guys.
And a lot of people don't resign in Denver. Like, that's a market that, yeah, okay. A lot of superstars wouldn't resign in Denver. And you know what? Carmelo Anthony was a superstar. Like, he was that. So people forget that. And then he goes to New York, and, yeah, he chased the money. A lot of people have some issue with a guy getting paid and chasing money, even though they also chastise his friends for chasing rings and all teaming up together.
Melo's the only one that wanted to go to New York.
He's the only one that wanted to stay in New York.
And go to the Knicks, because we just saw KD and Kyrie not go to the Knicks.
I mean, yeah.
Because it seems like they wanted to go to New York, but they wouldn't even go near the Knicks. Carmelo was the one superstar willing to go near.
Amber, we're toxic.
You're very toxic.
We're toxic.
You are. Now, I mean, Porzingis was there, but that wasn't his choice. He was drafted by you guys.
Well, he got drafted, and, you know, there was.
And then he wanted the hell out.
Well, there was craziness that was going on, and his brother was, who's his agent, was asking for a ridiculous amount of things. But yes, the New York Knicks are a toxic franchise right now, but it wasn't Melo's fault. And
right now.
OKC, well, no.
Right
they
now,
were bad.
Like in
they
the
were
last
bad.
Century
no,
right
no, no,
now?
No, they were bad. Now they're toxic.
Right now, in like this period of history and Earth, like whatever era we're in here.
You said Porzingis' brother was his agent?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, that's where you get all these issues. When we talked about money earlier in the week, you know, you're talking about, oh, your uncle got his financial degree. Like, no.
Well, because I think with players, they feel like it's often, oh, my mother is my manager. You hear that sort of thing a lot. I think with players, they feel like they're the people who they could trust most in the world would be their mother
manager,
or their brother
manager,
or their father.
I'm cool with. Manager's different.
Although manager's
I'm cool
still,
with.
That's still a lot. That's still a lot
momages.
Of trust.
I can't do momages.
But contracts and money and my investments, I need somebody else unless my mom has been doing it for 20 years.
Well, that's the difference. All of it, frankly, you need somebody who's well-versed in it.
Yes.
Now, the counterexample to that would be what LeBron James did. If you look at LeBron James, he would say, well, I didn't need anybody who was well-versed in it. I just needed my best friends. I needed my boys.
LeBron
and they went and got well-versed
LeBron
in it.
LeBron is special, though, because when you look at LeBron, correct me if I'm wrong, but aren't the NBA slots slotted? The money is slotted as far as a first pick, second pick, third pick, like the NFL is.
Well, the
now.
NFL is now as well.
Now,
yeah.
Now is now. So you didn't, your boys didn't need to do your contracts as far as that. When the other stuff, it's LeBron James. I could walk into any room and say, this is who I have. Let's do the deal.
Well, LeBron James's contracts have never been complicated because he's always going to get max money unless he doesn't want to take max money. He's always going to get max money, and it is what it is. It's a salary cap sport. There's only so much any team can give him. So those are never going to be complicated. People are going to give LeBron whatever the hell he wants. So his agent has a pretty easy job there. However, his agent has also gone and represented a whole bunch of other people. So it's not like he's just, in fairness to Rich Paul, it's not like he just represents LeBron James.
Of course not.
But he did the best zero way ever. Experience.
He did, but he learned on the job. And that's the best way when they try to bring in that new rule to say you had to go to college. I was like, are you kidding me? He's dealt with the biggest client in the NBA, in sports.
Man, I had no problem with that rule.
Learning on the fly. Really?
No problem with that rule. Because
why?
Because the only person it screws is him, okay? He's the exception to the rule. Yes, he was in a very unique situation where he met his best friend in an airport called LeBron James when it was, a few years before LeBron got famous. They hadn't, I don't think him and Rich Paul had grown up together, right? He was the one that they met in the airport and became boys.
Yep.
And so, yeah, he wasn't one of his friends from the come up. So he happens to meet the best guy he could ever meet to be best friends with. And because of that, he has the opportunity then to go learn under some of the best agents. And so he actually worked at an agency. He learned under an agent as he was representing LeBron, but he had a mentor
Smart.
Helping him
yep.
do it. And then got his feet wet and was able to go out on his own, able to go
agent test,
right,
yeah.
And it was able to go out on his own and start his own agency. That's a really unique scenario because normally the good agents of the world aren't like, sure, come aboard. The reason that they're doing that is because you can bring me LeBron James. So if you can bring me LeBron James, I'll mentor the living hell out
yep.
of you
mm-hmm.
and teach you everything you need to know. And yes, you're right. In that sense, on the job training is priceless. It's more than sitting in a classroom with any semblance of education. However, that's so, so rare. That's the one in a million. The rule was to help the million, not the one. The rule was to make sure that all those other agents that go after these kids and feed on these kids have some semblance of education. I think they should have to go to law school. I'm a huge proponent of that. I think agents should have to have law degrees. If you want to grandfather out Rich Paul, you could. I think generally those sorts of things should be requirements. If you're dealing with people's contracts, if you're dealing with these kids' futures, if you're dealing with their money, if you're dealing with legal language that you really, really need to vet and understand because it's going to affect these kids for the rest of their lives, then I think that you should be extremely well educated in it.
Yeah, but you do realize probably for the last 20 years, 15 years, it's not about the law as far as contracts for the agent because they have people in their agency that are the attorneys that write the contracts. It's all about relationships and can I trust you?
Only if you're in a big agency. If you're in a big agency, you're correct. If you're in a bona fide agency, then yeah, they have their counsel as well, but that's not all these agents. There's a lot of sports agents out there that are just like you're talking about when we talk about these athletes being represented by their mother, their father, their brother, their sister, their best friend.
Yeah, I mean, listen, by the way, you're never going to get rid of the quote unquote the scummy ones that like to pry and prey on these kids. Like, they're always going to be around.
They will always be there, but if you make the standards a bit higher, and I feel like a college education is a very, very basic requirement, frankly, of an industry like that. Because, by the way, I bet like pretty much every agent ever has a college education other than Rich Paul. So, you know, I mean, that's like a bare minimum type thing. So if you make something like that a requirement, at least if you're putting some requirements there, you're making it a little bit more difficult to obtain.
But you still got the scum.
You're never going to be
Got them.
There are scum lawyers in the world,
of
and
course.
It's really bleeping hard to become a licensed lawyer, and we have to go through a million hours of ethics training, and yet there's still some unethical lawyers out there.
Especially
the huge majority
South
of them are
Florida.
Ethical, but there are some unethical lawyers out there. You're never going to completely erase it all because it's a bit of a dirty business. The agency business, I mean, it's always a bit of a dirty business.
So is the attorney. You could say that too.
But you can, depends what type of law, you can try to at least make the standards high enough where it weeds out as much of that as you can realistically expect to weed out. It's all to protect the athlete. It's all to protect the kid.
But even if you tell them, hey, by the way, here's 100 certified financial advisors, agents that you can trust that we vetted that done a great job.
And the leagues do that sort of thing.
Of course, you get all types of paperwork to say, hey, you need any questions? Here are the guys that you can go through. But here's a problem. Like, even an example, you'll get a guy that announces, hey, I'm skipping my senior year and I'm going to the NFL. And 2 days later, he already has his agent. How do you already have your agent if 2 days ago you just said you're leaving college.
You know how.
I know how, but that's the issue because no matter what, even if you
That's also the game, though. That's the agency game. Like, you can't even really blame agents for that because, by the way, if they're not there at that moment, they're not getting those clients. They lose out. That's what makes it a dirty business.
Then half of them get cut anyways before their second contract and they go with another agency.
Another agent.
Because they know this dude's a slap, you know what, and he can't really represent me like he should. And I shouldn't have went and just took the little money that I did and one with the guy that has five guys.
When we come back, we will have your headlines for you. Amber and the Toe Monroe rolls on after the break.